No, TV, that's fine. Yeah, no problem. Yep.
Do you have anything to
So.
ask you guys?
Okay. So, anyone else got any other questions you want to ask?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, awesome. I during worship on Sunday, I was praying for somebody and I got a set of wings. And I've never had a set of wings before. Have you ever
Yeah.
heard of that?
Because what are the function of wings
To fly.
to help you go higher to fly? And so often it's if you're ministering to someone and you get a set of wings, it's usually because you need to engage at a higher level of revelation to be able to minister to them, and God is saying, come higher and I can show you things from this perspective so you can minister them from that perspective. And so you can do that at the same time. Your spirit can be flying and engaging in the realms of heaven, but you can still be ministering to someone in a natural sense. And it could be that actually, you are called to engage with the eagle, perhaps, in terms of soaring and seeing things from a bigger picture perspective. I would always just go back to God and just say, okay, God, what was that about? Give me some revelation about the wings. Were they just for this specific occasion? Is there something that you want me to do on a regular basis? What is it? Just give me revelation about it. Because all that what that'll do is just build up your confidence in talking to God, hearing him, having a relational conversation about things, which is what I, encourage people more and more to do, to go back and say, okay, God, what is this? What was the, is it symbolic? Is it literal? What it actually is it that you're showing me? And he will, he'll give you revelation, and you'll get more insight into it the more you meditate on it. And if it's something, it's like you feel, no, this is actually something I'm being really drawn into, then take that around the presence of God, around the ark, and begin to nurture it and to begin to incubate it. Because if it's a particular ministry area or particular mandate that you've been given, then you need to administer that out of authority. And that comes with desire, which you create in your heart towards it. And then you will be drawn towards that area where God is leading you, because he will be directing and leading you in it. And then the ministry out of it in authority will because you carry it in your heart. So being given a set of wings is one thing. Carrying the function and the positional authority of what those wings symbolize is another thing. And the more we do that within our heart and we brood over it and we incubate it, then when it comes to release, it's coming out of a position of authority within us. But sounds cool, doesn't it? Wings.
Amen. Well, I've had the angels stand behind me and open their wings. And that was powerful, but I've never been given a set of wings. I was like, oh, that's kind of out of my understanding.
I think we're going to have to come to terms with a lot of different things that right now are beyond our understanding. And I think some of those things are just going to be the greater works of than Jesus, the things which, we've not entered into the heart of man yet, are going to be revealed from the deep calling out to deep. And as we go deeper in with God, we're going to find things released that we've never seen before or never even heard of before, because we're in a day that God wants to reveal the manifest glory of God, not just his presence. So we have to expect the latter rain to be greater than the former rain, and the latter glory to be greater than the initial glory. And so at the end of the church, we're going to expect a lot more, than was received in the beginning. So if Pentecost was a mighty rushing wind, then what's coming is a hurricane typhoon. You know? And, you know, if there was tongues of fire resting on them, then there are going to be blazing fires of light that we manifest. You know, all those things, you know, we're going to see a massive increase, you know, than what we've seen already. And so I'm expecting a whole load of things than we've ever really experienced before to come about. You know, but it's all basically based on the same thing. We're in rest with God and we flow out of that and we do whatever he shows us to do. You know, we get a mandate and we deliver it. Even if it's a mandate to do something which is really weird, like, I don't know, shift a river course or something that gives you then water in an area that you haven't got before, or move a physical mountain. There are things which are hinted at that people just allegorize or symbolize that actually I think are more akin to bringing, terraforming the earth according to the pattern of heaven. So the more we see what it is there, the more we'll want to see transformation of earth into that pattern, so that we set up these embassies on earth that are ruled from the government of heaven, not earth, and therefore are not under the same rules, are not under the same authority, that operate from a higher spiritual authority, and therefore we are able to establish those things where we can change the earth. It's like if we're supposed to produce a garden that represents the garden of God and is full of joy and peace and love and blessing and provision, then we're going to have to see a transformation of what we're living in right now to reflect that. And some of it will be a physical reflection, not just a spiritual one, which, you know, is good fun coming, I think.
Amen. Amen. Can I share with you the ministry that my husband and I have? I told them last night, close their eyes and sense where the angels were, because we've taken them on your activations and what have you. And it's just an awesome thing to begin to see people open up and realize the spiritual round about them.
Yeah.
And it just excites me to see that. So. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it is just opening the door for people to then go through and make their own. You know, I don't want people copying what I do. I just want people to use it as an example, but then they can tread their own path and find their own experiences in it, but then it becomes their lifestyle in the kingdom. And you have to start from somewhere. So I just want to introduce to people the potential possibilities of what is available and then encourage people to pursue that themselves. You know, if I thought that, you know, people only engaged when I was here and they were using me as a mediator, then I would stop doing it, because that would be just setting up an old order when we need to establish a new order that we all have access to engage, and we all have the potential to be fully engaged in heaven and earth, but you obviously have to pursue it and cultivate that desire to outwork it. But you know, that's certainly my desire, and that people can come and say, hey, I saw this and I saw that and I went there, and I'll be like, wow, that's great, I've never been there, where was it and what did you do, and let's learn from each other. You know, it's once you get the freedom to be guided into the realms of heaven, you don't have to be constrained to what someone else's previous experience has been. You know, you can be taken anywhere and you can see things that no one else has ever seen, because God has prepared things for us like that. You know, and that's the key, is to rejoice in that, not to be threatened by it or to be like, oh, well, I'm going to hold certain things back because I don't want people to get too far ahead. I want people to go as far as possible, because if someone's gone further than me, it means that I can go there. I can follow a path that leads to there, because, hey, God is no respecter of persons, so I shall be claiming testimonies to open up the realms for me to engage. You know, and I've done that. You know, there's been certain, you know, the very first time, you know, when I used to engage in opening up the first love gate and engaging the presence of God and the river of life, you know, I would step in through the veil to go back into the realms of heaven. And one day I was like leading people in this exercise, and it's like, okay, I open the first love gate, and it's like, just encounter this. And then it's like, we just, you know, where does God want you to go? And afterwards they were sharing, and they said, well, I walked back through the first love gate, and when I walked back through the first love gate, I ended up in the river of life in heaven. And I thought, okay, yeah, that makes real sense. But I'd never done that myself as a pathway. I just used my previous experience of being able to step into somewhere to engage. And it just opened up that whole to a different dimension. And then I began to actually look at, okay, what does that doorway look like? What does it actually look like in my spirit? What is my spirit? What is it a door into? And I then began to see in my spirit that there was a pillar of cloud, and that door, that pillar of cloud went right up into the realms of heaven, which is what Babel was intended to do. And actually my spirit is connected to heaven, and the kingdom realm is connected to the kingdom realm. Therefore, I can go through that door and connect. And it actually caused me then to think of, actually, what does my spirit look like? You know, I spend most of my time looking at Jesus or God. You know, I didn't look around to see what was my spirit look like. Then when I began to look and see this pillar and see this doorway, this is actually on top of a mountain. This is a mountain. My spirit is a mountain. I am a mountain. You know, I represent that positional government in my life. And then it made sense where the doorways were and how the river could flow through those doorways and things, because it just did. You know, but I just spent most of my time doing stuff and didn't really observe. So I took someone's testimony, and it just opened up a whole different dimension, which was great, you know. You know, and I said afterwards to her, I said, wow, that's brilliant, because that's just given me another whole pathway to explore, you know, which is great.
Awesome. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, I was wondering. I was able to go into the galaxies the other day, and I just happened to wonder if the created word lives within us, can we speak new galaxies into existence?
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, I was taken as an encounter out into the edge of the sort of universe, and I found myself, my spirit birthing something, and it birthed it into, you know, an interesting shape, this sort of related to the sound that was coming out of heaven, and this infinity shape, covenant shape, and I found stars just being formed into that shape in the heavens. And because ultimately we are created in the image of God, and if we're going to be joint heirs with Jesus, then we will get to do some of the things that he did. You know, if you think of there is no end to the increase of his government, that means that creation itself and the realms are expanding. Therefore, we get to do some of the expansion because we're sons.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Which is, you know, it's good. So, yeah, no problem. And I think it's that the more time we spend connecting with God and in his presence, the more we will begin to take on his image and feel the creative release of that from us, you know. And yeah, who knows what, you know, dimensions we will engage with, because there are many different dimensions that we don't necessarily always connect with, you know, that we will be able to, I believe. So it sounds good, but it has to come out of your spirit. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I would like to birth a galaxy, and I would like to put my name on it. You know, it probably is coming from the soul. You know, yeah. Whereas when my spirit just draws me to it, it's about bringing more glory to God, because the heavens display His glory. And so if I'm adding to the heavens, I'm adding to the display of His glory, which is what it's about, you know, rather than it being egotistical and, oh, yeah, I'll be able to name this galaxy after me. But, yeah, it's all part of our maturing, I guess.
Okay. Oh, I don't know where that came from.
That was good, though.
Yeah, it was funny.
Joy is always good. Wherever it's coming from, it's good. So, okay. You got anything else?
I met Wisdom yesterday.
All right, good, yeah.
No, that was good. That was really good. I visited her again during the night, too. Yeah, that was an experience, yes.
So did that open something new up for you, or did that give you a deeper insight into anything?
Well, it gave me wisdom on something, and... Yeah. It changed the atmosphere around me whenever I applied what she told me to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. It's just another layer that, yeah, that's good. It's good.
Yeah, I think that is going to be a real resource for us understanding our position of government and the protocols of government. I think, you know, engaging with wisdom is will be a key in that. I mean, the other day I was engaging with God, and God said, you know, I've assigned wisdom to lead you into some of these things. So, you know, is God does that. He wants us to engage, because that's why it was set up that way in the first place. You know, and I think a lot of people with the whole religious stuff, oh, why would I want to talk to this angel or talk to wisdom when I can talk to God? Well, because God isn't going to tell you those things when He's assigned someone else to tell you those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's His order. He's ordered things in a particular way. And as we follow that order, then we find that we can engage in that order and get the revelation of it easier. You know, there are certain things that I engage with the Father about, have intimacy about, which is different again. And I think there's different things that I engage Jesus about and the Spirit, and you know, it's just sensing where your spirit is leading. And sometimes my spirit leads me to go and see wisdom, you know, and I go with it. You know, it's not a cognitive head, oh, I wonder where I should go to find out this. I just let my spirit draw me or lead me towards somewhere or something that I need to engage. You know, because in heaven, the whole thing operates on thought. You know, the language of heaven is thought, conscious thought, rather than, you know, sometimes we see each other or it appears that we're talking, but in reality, you know, there's thought-to-thought communication, because everyone knows everything. You know, it's like it's all connected together into a, you know, it sounds a bit weird, but there is a consciousness that when we come together as the body, and in heaven, they are the church of the firstborn in heaven. And so they are conscious and aware of the things that are happening in the realms of heaven. You know, and we add to that when we go and we make connections, And there's a lot more to understand about that, and to understand how heaven works and how the cloud of witnesses know where you are. You know, it's like when you go to a chancellor's court and you go to something, they show up. Well, they show up because they're aware of what's going on. They have access to know what's going on. You know, God doesn't hide things from people there. They're unveiled. You know, there are no veils closed to what's going on in the realms of heaven. So it's all interesting, you know, to learn how to engage. But, you know, I'm constantly surprised because there's just new things all the time. Yeah. You know, new to me. I mean, they're not new. They're ancient, but they're new. They're new to me, so they feel exciting and new, even though there are ancient paths and ancient things to tread, you know, and ancient knowledge and ancient resources. But if I am operating from the beginning, then I have access to those ancient things to bring them into today. Because that's where those ancient paths start, really. So, yeah. Okie dokie. You got anything else?
What is the role of the men in white linen?
Well, their real role is to be a cloud of witnesses that observe what we're doing and help us. So they are the governors of Galatians 4. The tutors of Galatians 4 are the seven spirits of God, and the governors are the men in white linen. So they carry a mandate from their destiny, and they're looking for people to invest in so that their destiny will be completely outworked. It's like, you know, they've run a lap of a relay race, and they want to pass the baton to those who carry the same heart and destiny, and they want to help us not make the mistakes that they made. And so we can have them assigned. We have 12 assigned to us. Here's a ministry. I've engaged with a number of them in different ways, but they've always been there to open something, or to give a revelation of something, or to lead me into something, or, you know, they're just there to help. You know, they are surrounding us in that spirit realm. You know, and they're as much the church as we are the church. They're just operating in a different dimension that can engage this dimension. And we will see a huge activation of that once we start to move into this new order, and with people, more and more people begin to embrace that, you know, what you were saying earlier, seeing the realm of the spirit and being sensitive to the realm of the spirit, they will find that they're sensitive to which of the cloud of witnesses or the men in white linen are part, because obviously there are women in white linen as well. So, you know, and they want to invest. You know, sometimes they would want to pass on mantles, sometimes torches or carrying the light, because many of them died without finding the full fulfillment of the promises. And you read that in Hebrews 11, they died in faith without actually seeing the total fulfillment. So they're looking for the generation who will embrace their sonship and bring transformation to the world, to the created universe, really. So they want to invest in sons. And so they're there to help in our sonship, as well as, you know, being involved in certain ministry areas where they got an association, you know. So, yeah. Short answer.
Because I felt, I asked the Lord what the angels were about me, and I began to ask their names, and one was Paul, and I thought, that he's not an angel. You know, that's why I was asking about the men in white linen versus, because the angelic realm's here to help us too, as well. But what you're saying, right? And what you're saying is like, for lack of, like Smith Wigglesworth or even further back, those that maybe did not fulfill everything that God wanted them to, they want to pass it on. Is that correct?
Yeah, because angels were created individual beings, created with a function and a purpose. The men in white linen are people who have lived.
Okay. And
they're now living, you know, another name for them are the spirits of the righteous men made perfect. So in a sense, they were righteous men of God who have died, or women of God who have died, and now they're in a perfect state, in a sense, because they're now operating without the limitations of a physical body and being in one place at one time, so they have access to a different dimension than we do, and they carry a record that enables them to help us, and they have wisdom to help us in what we're doing, and they do want to be involved. You know, angels do not carry memory of a past life, because they've never lived a past life. They've always been since they were created. But people have lived, and therefore have experience of living and outworking their calling on Earth, and they're now free to be able to release that from a realm, from the realms of heaven.
I have a question regarding the men in white linen. So if you've met people in the past, I'm not exactly sure how this works. Can you ask to meet them again or ask to talk to them, or do you have to wait for them to come back, or how does that work?
It works, again, out of desire. If you want to find out of people, you can go and drink the wine in the wine room of the record of their lives. You can also go to the scroll room and you can look at a record of things that are written about previous encounters. I personally had a desire to engage certain people. I just felt drawn to ask them certain questions. And out of that desire, I engaged in it. There were people like Jacob. I have a strong affinity with Jacob. He appeared to me at a portal and told me to come and meet with him, and he told me to read a portion of his life and to really receive revelation from that portion in Genesis 28 about, you know, the ladder and the house of God and the gateway of heaven and that whole thing about Bethel. And so it was really significant. And I started to do that, and then I had a desire to go and ask him something else. And when I went back, I found that he was digging a hole. And I'm sort of like, this is a bit weird. You know, why are you digging a hole? And he just said, well, you know, I'm showing you my well. I'm like, well, I know Moses, you know, had wells in the desert and all that stuff, but I knew Abraham dug wells. And I knew that Jacob didn't dig a well, as far as I was aware, in the Old Testament. I knew Isaac unblocked his father's wells and dug new wells. And then as I was sort of meditating around it, it suddenly struck me that in the New Testament, Jesus actually went and drew water from Jacob's well in Sychar. So in the New Testament, where he met the Samaritan woman, was actually Jacob's well. And so what he was saying was that, you know, what I was going to be doing in terms of engaging what he had shown me from his life about opening heaven and finding a gateway of heaven on earth would be like a well that other people would be able to draw from, and actually it would change and transform things like it did with the woman. She went back to her community and it was like, wow. And they all wanted Jesus to come. You know, so in a sense, it was just, it showed me something, and quite often it is symbolic like that. He could have told me something, but it left a much bigger impression for me to go and find out about it, because I went and meditated around it and then discovered, hey, because I read in the Old Testament, and I Googled it, and I tried to find Jacob's well, you know, in the concordance and all that stuff, and it wasn't there, you know. But then in the New Testament, there it is, associated with a taking a new dimension of the worship of God in spirit and in truth to the right mountain rather than the wrong one. And it just opened up a whole realm of revelation in terms of ministry and what God was calling me to do. It came out of that encounter. And that's what often it does. It inspires me to engage. And then usually out of that engagement, there's fresh revelation and other revelation that comes out of that symbolism, because you know it took it to Samaria, where technically they weren't supposed to have anything to do with the Samaritans. So this picture again was saying this is going to be able to open doors to people who, you know, who have access closed to them, who other people won't necessarily deal with, but actually you have got permission to be able to engage and touch into different communities and into different spheres, really, of government. That was my encounter. You know, I did go back, and I wanted to know some things about what was in the garden and what Adam was like. So I went back and looked, you know, and I engaged with Adam in the beginning to see how he did things, you know. So I went back and asked him, you know. So sometimes it can be just out of that desire and that drawing. Sometimes they are assigned and they do things because there's a recognition of something in God that they recognize and they want to be involved in. I'm sure God gives them assignments to outwork as well. You know, I've connected with Enoch a few times, and he sent me on some quests and gave me some specific direction and promises that would come out of my obedience in pursuing certain things, you know. Really interesting things, really. But nothing to be afraid of, and nothing to be, you know, it's like we're not going to worship angels, we're not going to worship men in white linen. They wouldn't allow it anyway, and the desire is for us to engage with what God has provided for us. You know, and why would it talk about a cloud of witnesses if there wasn't some purpose for them? You know?
So. No, that's really good, because I've met people, and then later on I'm like, oh my gosh, I really would love to ask them this question, but I didn't. It was kind of one of those things where I didn't know if it was the right thing to do, but it sounds like I can.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Definitely you can. You can, if the desire of your heart is drawn towards it and your spirit leads you towards it, then there's no reason why not, you know. You know, because that's why you had the experiences in the first place, to open up the door for future experiences, you know. I would encourage people to engage, you know, because God has created this structure and order for us to be able to engage in it. You know, if God hadn't created the cloud of witnesses, then we wouldn't have an opportunity of engaging with them. But he has, and he's told us about it, and therefore why not? And you look at the men in white linen, they were all the way through the Bible. So even in the Old Testament, there were still men in white linen turning up. They were involved with Jesus. You know, sometimes we read and we think that sometimes they're angels because they're clothed in white linen, but actually some of the people, even at Jesus' resurrection, were men in white linen. There were those that were standing when he went back into, you know, levitated back into that cloud, who were standing there as part of that cloud. Because you know, when it says he went up into the cloud, it was the cloud of witnesses who were welcoming him. You know, they're not a crowd of witnesses, they're a cloud of witnesses. you know, and he went into, and when he comes back, he's coming in the clouds. You know, so we will then become part of the cloud of witnesses. Because we will meet him when he comes. You know? So there's a lot of stuff around that which is fun, and I think we'll have a lot more engagement in the future. Good stuff.
Wow. Well, so Mike, you fulfill your destiny, whether here or as a man in white linen. The fulfillment of your destiny,
yeah,
is completed.
I believe that you will be involved in the end of all things, yeah, because Jesus is going to remain in the realms of heaven until the restoration of all things spoken by those in ancient times. And that the most ancient things that were spoken by God were before the foundation of the world, hence Jesus being slain before the foundation of the world, which means we can access that because there is no sin there, and we can bring that manifesting into our day. Hence, I personally believe if you can live without sin for a second, you can do it for a minute, and you can do it for an hour, and you can do it for a day and longer, because if we are living out of where there was no sin, then we can bring that into our personal experience. Not that we don't have the choice to sin. We do. Jesus had the choice to sin. He just chose not to, given the choice. And we have that same choice. And the more we're inspired by what it was like before there was no sin, the more we will want that to be manifested around our lives where we live in that atmosphere where there is no sin. I think we can certainly engage in that with those who want to see the fullness of restoration come. And, you know, also all those that have died, children, they also who did not get an opportunity of outworking their destiny on earth are being tutored by the angels so that their eternal destiny will be an ongoing flow of where they are. And again, that's another dimensional place where you can engage with them, and they're being tutored for their eternal destiny. Even though they don't have a record of their earthly destiny, I believe that they will have a record of what their scroll and destiny would have been, but that will lead them into what it will be. And I think the angels are working with them to give them the experiences that they would have got if they had been born, so that they don't miss out.
Wow. He's so awesome.
Yeah, he is. And that's an awesome place, you know, a really, really emotional place if you know people there. And you know, that's where I met my grandchildren who had miscarriage. They were miscarriages, and they're there being equipped by the angels, you know, which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Probably got time for one more thing.
I was wondering, do you feel like there's a difference between white linen, white garments, and white raiment?
I think that, I don't know, to be honest. I think white raiment is probably something that we are clothed in, being living. Like when we step into the courtroom, we get clothed in white raiment, if you like. It's like that's our righteousness. Whereas I think the men in white linen, it's more about who they are, rather than being clothed in something, because they're now in that realm, living in that realm, where we go, we get clothed in white linen, because it reflects our righteousness. You know, hence Zechariah 3, where it talks about Joshua the high priest standing before Satan in the court, and God said, "Hey, give him a new set of clothes and put a new turban on his head. So I think that may be a sort of separation there between raiment being what we're clothed in righteousness, and linen being them as who they are, their identity, because they're already there. They have, you know, their spiritual bodies, if you like, in that realm. Maybe, I don't know, but without sort of going and asking God specifically if there is a difference, that would be my first inclination. We are stepping into that realm, and we are stepping into the righteousness of God when we step there. They are operating in that realm, enrolled. There's a scripture in Hebrews where it talks about, you know, engagement with the different angels and the myriads of angels, but it talks about the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. And they are enrolled into their heavenly function, whereas we have an earthly function which we need to administer from heaven. And so there may be some sort of connection between that, you know, because we are living in a different dimension, but we're connected to that. I don't know. Maybe. But if you find out, you can let me know. So, okay. All right.
So you're